interviews, they are going to make you nervous. We're not interviewing every day of our lives. I've done a number of them in my time, and I remember being so nervous. I think it's easy to sort of focus on, yeah, do this to be confident, but also it's be aware of the things not to do, the things that can make you seem less confident in interviews. So that's what we want to speak about today.
You want this interviewer to look at you and be speaking with you and for them to feel like you believe that you can come in here and you can achieve. If you take the time to actually prepare and think about your own career experiences, think about the projects that you've been on, think about your achievements, you will show up with some practice examples. And by doing that, you will feel that you're able to show up in a more natural light. You're able to show up with a better energy, and you're able to show up without using these filler words that can translate into a lack of confidence.
Welcome to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast. And today it is another Georgie and Pam special.
The Georgie Pam bonanzas.
Off the back of our last one on imposter syndrome, which thank you so much for those that reached out and said how much they got from it, because this is the reason why we do these episodes. And we really try and think, okay, what can we speak about? What's going to offer the most value? What do our audience want to know about, hear about? And I also go on what seems to be doing well in the media, what I'm posting about, what people are liking, what's sort of getting a lot of traction. And one post I did a little while ago on my LinkedIn was all around the things making you seem less confident in an interview. And it got a really, really good response. So I thought, Pam, we would talk to that today, because obviously we have coached, I couldn't even count how many people that we've actually had interview over the last, for me, decade in recruitment, for you, 17 years. And what we've sort of seen and heard, that, you know, some feedback from our clients have come up of why people have stumbled and fell short, because the interviews, they are going to make you nervous. We're not interviewing every day of our lives. I've done a number of them in my time, and I remember being so nervous, just panicking about what I'm going to say, researching the company and trying to get everything perfect. And I think it's easy to sort of focus on, yeah, do this to be confident, but also it's also really important to be aware of the things not to do, the things that can make you seem less confident in interviews. So that's what we want to speak about today. Interviews, first and foremost, you're going to be nervous. It's just going to happen. But go back and listen to the imposter syndrome one, and you'll sort of hear about why that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because if you're going for an interview, you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. And it's good to do that. It's good to do that in life. It's good to find ourselves in these slightly uncomfortable positions. And it's how we address it. It's how we grow from it. And even if you're going to lots of interviews and you're not securing yourself the job, we'll see it as a growth opportunity. What could you be doing better? Try and seek feedback, and also listen and learn and see if you are potentially doing one of these four things. So I'll kick off by saying the first thing that I think so many people stumble on, and that's saying the word "we" a lot instead of "I". So when we sort of think about interviews, the first thing I want to say is you have been brought in for a reason. People don't have all the time in the day just to sit around interviewing people that they don't think is right for the job. You've got the interview in the first place because the employer, the hiring manager, the HR person, the recruiter sees potential in you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there. So they're interviewing you, not your team, not your old manager. Like, they want to know about you. And I think that one of the things that people do, when I've spoken to them on the phone, when I've interviewed people for our own business, we did this. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, because yeah, it's good to come across as a team player. But if you use the word "we" too often and you don't speak about what you've personally done, that's a little bit of a red flag for a hiring manager and an employer. But Pam, anything that you, because I mean, look, you've been recruiting for 17 years. Why do you think it's important that people really do sell themselves in an interview?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, look, these are really important subtleties that people might not be aware of that they're actually bringing to an interview. And interview feedback can be quite a tricky thing to get some real honest, tangible breakdowns, right? Because the reality is businesses and hiring managers are incredibly busy. It's not often that you really interview for a business, and if you get rejected, you get these little details and these subtleties that you can really work on to move forward. So that is a really powerful one. And I think a lot of people use the word "we" unconsciously. And that it's not necessarily a bad thing. And some people use it consciously because they actually want to come across as a team player. But the powerful thing between the "we" and "I" is that you can frame it out, right? Say, if you were part of a team, acknowledge that. I was part of a team that was responsible for delivering such and such a project. Let me talk to you today about the role that I played in the delivery of that project piece. Let me talk about what I personally was responsible for. Let me talk to you about what I personally achieved, what I was driving for the project piece. So by using those words in that way, you are demonstrating that you acknowledge you were part of a team. You didn't just fly solo and do all these fantastic things, but within that, you have got the capacity to be able to break down and really focus in on the fact that you knew what your own personal responsibilities were. So if you do find yourself gearing towards using the word "we" for whatever reason, or you don't want to feel as though you're soaking up all the achievements, before you go into an interview, look at your resume, look at your role, think about why the client is actually picking to interview you, and you think about a few examples that you think are going to be of particular relevance to the role. And you sit and think about what you as an individual were responsible for and achieved in that role. So go in prepared. That is the key when it comes to using the subtleties between "we" and "I." Know your role. Know why the client's interviewing you. And you bring the "I's." You bring the "I's," not the "we's." So that's a really good point, Georgie.
I absolutely love that. It's how we frame it, because no one is self-made. No one can sit here and say, oh, this podcast is doing well because of just me. No, it's not. It's doing well because of Kyle, who edits it together. It's doing well because of the guests that I interview. It's doing well because of all of that. So it's really important to think, yeah, like you just said then, there's the collective that's created the success, but what did you personally, so using the podcast example, I personally made sure that I was well prepped for each podcast, that I did research on the guests before, so I could make sure that when I come into the podcast that I can ask really great questions and get the most out of the guests. That's what I personally did, but the whole podcast production took a team, took other people. So yeah, you're beautifully put of, the team is one thing, but what did you personally contribute? That's what the interviewer wants to know. So yeah, such a good point there. The second one, and this is honestly key, body language. Sometimes we don't even need to speak. Our body does the talking. And body language is just one of these things that so many people aren't even aware of. I caught myself the other day, actually, we were about to go into a meeting and I started just sort of tapping my foot, and I've noticed that I sort of do that if I'm getting a little bit, what do I say, anxious, but just apprehensive about something. I'll be a bit more fidgety, a bit more agitated, or I might start playing with my hair a bit. Just these little things, these little subtleties that I go, oh, I didn't realize I did that. So being, again, going back to sort of self-awareness that we've spoken about in other podcasts, but these subtle body language, like crossing your arms, you know, not being open, or playing with your hair, or tapping your hands. One thing as well that I read the other day as well is that not nodding. So if you're just sort of, especially on a Zoom call, right? I mean, we've been.
I nod a lot. I'm like nodding, so I'm interested in what you're going to say here.
But that's actually a really good thing, because you're acknowledging what the person's saying. So you don't just sit there like a nodding dog like this. For those not watching our video, I'm literally nodding my head the time. But you just want to. You want to show that you're acknowledging, that you're understanding what the person's saying. It builds rapport, it builds warmth. But, you know, imagine if you're in an interview and someone's just sort of looking at you, looking like they've just frozen. You're going to go, oh my God, am I making sense? So just these little things. And then if on the flip side, if you're somebody interviewing somebody, it's just nice to nod and acknowledge what someone's saying and be encouraging. So body language, both sides of the fence is really important, because you can make someone feel very uncomfortable sat there with a stone face showing no emotion. But body language, what have you picked up on? If you've got any, and I think you said,
Do you know what, Gillian? You've just like picked two out there, right? I know the with folding your arms is meant to be like a sign of being really defensive. And what, and you know, I'm so conscious when I do this, but a lot of the time I fold my arms because I'm freezing. But it is like being really conscious of your body language, right? And let's definitely take it into an interviewing scenario. Your body confidence, or your body confidence, sorry, your body language can either show signs of fear, or they can demonstrate signs of confidence in your own abilities, right? And how do you want to show up in an interview? You want this interviewer to look at you and be speaking with you, and for them to feel like you believe that you can come in here and you can achieve. You want that interviewer to feel like this person, they know their stuff, they know what they're doing. So absolutely, like, as subtle as sitting up straight when you are describing your projects or describing your achievements, use your hands a little bit. You know, give them a little shuffle around. In fact, you know what? If you can actually watch this on YouTube, please do, because I'm actually using my hands talking. But absolutely, definitely use your some hand gestures to describe some of your projects. And that just gives a sense of openness, a welcoming sign. It's those gestures of, I am proud of what I achieved and I am confident in my own abilities. So sit up straight, shoulders back. Definitely use some hand gestures when you are describing your achievements, you're describing what your role was in a previous capacity and how that can transfer into the role that they are looking to hire you for. But body language is a huge one. And I think in terms of the whole interview preparation as well, prior to going into an interview, get in front of the mirror, go to the bathrooms in the place that you are actually interviewing, stand in the mirror and stand in the superwoman pose. Get those hands on the hips, stand up straight, stand back, and you tell yourself you can do this, you've got this. Do some serious self-talk. And if you work on those power poses prior to getting into a situation where you are feeling a little bit uneasy, you're feeling a little bit fearful, you're feeling a little bit anxious, if you work on that body language even before you go into the session, you're going to show up as a more confident version of yourself. And that's exactly what you want to portray when you're actually going into an interviewing situation. So the body language doesn't just start when you sit your bum down on that seat and you start talking to the interviewer. It starts beforehand. Think about how you're preparing your body for entering the interview. So body language is absolutely huge to get right.
It really is, because you think about, they say we've got 30 seconds to make your first impression, right? So body language, before you even open your mouth, people are judging you. And that's just a fact. That's a society we live in, right? You either fight against that or you accept it. So be aware of the energy you're giving off. Smile, walk in, like you said, Pam, with confidence. We were in a reception area the other day, one of our clients, and there was a woman sitting opposite us, and I could tell she was nervous. And the hiring manager came in to take her off for interview. And I wanted just to say to her, just smile. Just put a smile on your face, stand up, shake. A firm handshake's really important as well. These little things that we do, they give off a first impression. So be aware of how you are portraying, how you're holding yourself. It's just so important.
It is. And, you know, can I just hop in? You mentioned energy there. And energy is very closely linked to your body language as well. So if you show up with displaying those body language signs of confidence, that is going to exude in the energy that you actually bring to your interview as well. So it's very closely interlinked in terms of the body language that you use. It very much affects the energy, and the energy that is then brought to the interviewing table, and the energy that's received by the people that you're meeting. So really key one, Georgie.
100%. And again, final thing, because as you speak, if you're going for multiple interviews and you're maybe getting a bit down and you're doubting your abilities, do something that morning or whenever, just before the interview, to prime yourself, to get yourself into that state, to give yourself a pep talk. Like, you've got an interview, you're doing something right. And it could be the fact that you're going in with that negative mindset, thinking that I'm not going to get this interview, or I haven't got a job yet. Well, if you go in with that defeated mindset, that's going to come across in the words you say, in the body language, and the energy you give off. So take the morning to really get yourself in that good state of mind. Listen to this podcast and just believe in yourself. You're there for a reason. The higher majesty is potential in you. Make sure it shines through. And your body language is something that is going to really help you show that you're capable of doing the job. The third thing that's potentially making you seem less confident is honestly the words that we use. So something that a lot of people say is, I just, hopefully, maybe, doubt, just those filler words, those words that you go, oh, I don't know if that person really believes in themselves. Like, you know, to be aware of the words that you use to describe things. When someone asks you a question, take a pause before you just answer it. It's okay. Power of the pause. Take 4 seconds. Think about the questions that's just been asked to you. I think, how am I going to answer this? Think about a scenario in your head. Use the power of storytelling. Stories are really powerful ways in interviews to get your point across. So if someone says, Pam, talk to me about a time where you went through a challenge at work. How did you overcome it? If you start that sentence off saying, well, I just, straight away, you are not coming across as assertive, not coming across as confident. By taking a pause and really thinking about, how am I going to answer this question, thinking about a story, thinking about a scenario, you're going to come across as more confident, and that you've really thought about the answer. So the language we use, the words we choose, are really, really important. But anything you've noticed that you do when you're feeling a bit uncomfortable in situations?
Well, I think what's really key here as well is that it's not just when I feel uncomfortable, it's when I'm not prepared.
Yeah. Yes.
So filler words do come up a lot. If you are panicked, that you are not prepared. If you're not prepared, you're going to feel panicked. And if you're panicked, you're not going to show up as the best version of yourself. So a lot of the times with interviews, if you don't want to be using the filler words and you want to be able to show up as the best version of yourself, it actually does come down to the preparation beforehand. If you think about the amount of times that you find yourself in a position where you are interviewing, you are applying for jobs, you're ready for the next stage of your career, you're ready to evolve and you want to explore the market, whether you are actually entering the employment market through choice or whether you're entering the employment market through redundancy or under a bit more duress than normal, interviewing is not a natural scenario to find yourself in. And I think if you take the time to actually think about interviewing techniques, interviewing styles, what do hiring managers look for? What are common interview questions? If you take the time to actually prepare and think about your own career experiences, think about the projects that you've been on, think about your achievements, you will show up with some practiced examples. And by doing that, you will feel that you're able to show up in a more natural light. You're able to show up with a better energy and you'll be able to show up without using these filler words that can translate into a lack of confidence. And that is the key one. When people go out and find themselves in interviewing situations, I find that more often than not, it's when people feel as though they're caught on the back foot if I frame a question out that they're maybe not ready for. And they stumble and they stutter and they use the filler words. And I just think to myself, oh my goodness, right, thank goodness we've had this conversation here, because I'm the recruiter. So let me tell you what I actually think of how you've just answered that. May I suggest that these are the actions that you take? And it does, it comes back to the preparation. So interviewing isn't, we're not professional interviewers, but you need to make sure that you feel prepared enough to be able to show up and have those examples ready about how you really want to display your achievements.
Absolutely, 100%. be prepared. Think about those scenarios. Think about some stories that you can tell that really display why you are a great fit for the role.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy.
The fourth point that potentially could be making you seem less confident. And look, this is one that when I wrote it, I personally think that this is probably what makes me, what has made me come across quite assertive and confident in interviews, is because I've always had some clarity of my future, of where I want to go, what I'm working on, the goals that I want to achieve. So a common question that is getting asked more frequently now is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? If you think from a company point of view, when someone's hiring you, they're making a big investment in you. And as a business owner myself, when I interview people, I am curious to know, has this person thought about what they want to achieve in their career? Has this person sat down and thought about what they want to learn, what skills they want to obtain, what their goals are? Where do they see themselves in 5 years' time? Now, for whatever reason, since the age of 25, when I really sort of started thinking about a career, I always thought about that question. Where do I see myself in 5 years' time? What do I want to achieve? And what do I need to do in order to make that happen? Maybe I'm unique in that way. But I think that what clarity allows us to do is then actually apply for jobs and think about our career with that future-proof mindset of, why do I want this job? What is this job going to give me? So many people just take a job for whatever, within what money, they want flexibility. It's like, when you understand yourself, when you understand your values, right? And there's nothing wrong with wanting, you might want a job right now. You might be a brand new mom and you might just want a job that is 3 days a week because you think to yourself, well, I actually want to spend more time with my family. Or you might want to be a job that hasn't got a lot of pressure, maybe because you know that you want to be able to pick your kid up at 3 o'clock from school. And there is nothing wrong with that. That is perfect. That is your career journey. That's what you want. But knowing that you want that is going to make your whole decision-making process so much easier. You're not going to be going then for jobs that's going to require you to work 5 days a week in office. You're going to be able to have a lot more clarity of thought. So when offers come or when you go into those interview situations, you know what you're looking for as well. Remember, interview works both ways. So when you're applying for jobs, it's really important to think about, where do I see myself in 5 years' time? And is this job, is this position a stepping stone to get me there? Or is this going to be a company that I can grow with? Because ultimately, that's what the employer wants to know. They do want to hire people that want to stay with them. They do want to hire people that are going to grow within the business. I'm always looking for that. I'm always looking for people who are going to come and join CH Solutions. And we are a small business, but one day we won't be. And has this person got staying power? Has this person got the drive, the tenacity, the ambition to come with us on this journey? That's what I want to know when I'm hiring for our business. So Pam, you're somebody that maybe you haven't been as much of a future planner. You've openly said that to me before, which is quite interesting. And yeah, so talk about, like, am I wrong for saying that that clarity is important? And what challenge me on this if you want to as well.
Absolutely, I don't think you're wrong, but like we have laughed before. I think, Georgie, you have always been, I think you definitely have been here before. I think that you are an older soul. You're very mature. And at 25, for example, you're sitting jotting and journaling out all your intentions and what you want to carve out for your future. And I'm just thinking, right, knock off drinks, where's the best espresso martini? You know, What's going to get me power through to 3 a.m. so that I can be back at my desk at work in the morning for 8:30? No, but look, honestly, I sort of just stumbled through life and just enjoyed the ride. And I thought about coming to Australia when I was 29. 6 weeks later, I was here with a job and a visa sponsorship. And I just...
Which is very impressive, by the way.
I just rolled with the punches. However, I am now at the age where I am a lot more intentional about what my future looks like. But I'm 38, you know, and again, it comes back to you beat to the sound of your own drum. You are on your own timeline. So you were 25 when you started being really intentional about what you want to achieve and what the vision is for your future. I was a decade behind you. I didn't start doing that until I was 35. And if you're sitting here today and you're listening to this podcast and you're 45 or you're 50 and you're just about to start getting intentional about what you want your future to look like, about what you want your future self to look like, about what you want the next phase of your career to look like, that is okay. The key thing is that you have got to be at a place where you are ready to start that journey. Now, if I would have sat down at 25 and started thinking, right, what do I want next for my career? And sat down, I could have had vision boards from the start of my bedroom wall to the end of the kitchen wall. It wouldn't have mattered because I was not ready at that age to execute. But I think that it's about the timing, and the timing has to be right for you. So now I am ready to be intentional about my career. I am ready to be intentional about what I want to achieve. What does my life look like? What does my professional life look like? What does my personal life look like? And how am I going to take the actions to make sure that I execute on this? So no, you are not wrong at all, but it comes back to that timing. And as I say, you could sit and write a list for a list's sake and write out all these goals. But if you're not at the place in your life where you're ready to really execute on that, what's the point? Just do what I did when I was 25.
Yeah.
Roll with it.
Yeah.
Right.
100%. And look, that question, where do you see yourself in 5 years, isn't going to come up if you go in for a job in McDonald's, right? So of course.
Probably, actually, because I think they've got one of the best training programs.
But you know what I mean? Like a retail job, it's more of, I guess, a question that's going to come up maybe more in the corporate space. But
yeah.
I still think that, and going back to what you just said then, it's like, so for example, I left school when I was 16 because I knew what I wanted to travel and see the world. That's why I wanted to. I didn't enjoy school. I wanted to leave school. I wanted to go and get a trade, which was beauty, because I knew that I could go on the cruise ships and travel and see the world. That's what I wanted to do when I was 16 years of age. Just, I knew that. I was like, I want to get out of school. I hate school. Hate's a strong word. I disliked school. I didn't like the authority. I didn't particularly think that I was learning anything of value in life. I just didn't like school.
And again, what a mature...
Yeah, I didn't follow the crowd. All of my friends stayed to do whatever the next grade 12, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I left. I was like, get me out of here. So I've never followed the pack. I've always thought, okay... So I think I've always had naturally that future forecasting. So I guess what I'm saying is that when I say about where do you see yourself in 5 years, like... Your job doesn't necessarily need to, that doesn't mean I'm going to climb the corporate ladder and become a CIO, a CTO, whatever you want to do, right? But you could say, well, in 5 years' time, I want to be in a position where I can have enough money to be looking to purchase my first home and start a family, right? That could be where you see yourself in 5 years' time. Okay, cool. So in order to make that happen, what do I need to do? What kind of job do I need? How do I need to save? Like what things maybe am I going to have to sacrifice on today to then get me to where I want to be in 5 years' time? And I think that's probably my point with it as well. And this isn't just, I guess, when we come to interviews and we're kind of sidetracking, but it's just it's something I'm passionate about, because I think sometimes we can just bumble through life and all of a sudden we find ourselves in these situations where we go, how did I get here? Like, what's happened? Why aren't I achieving what I want to achieve? Why aren't I living up to my true potential? And I think seeking clarity on anything in your life is just so, it is important to do it. And like you say, Pam, like some people don't know. And that's also okay. You don't have to have all of the answers. I'm still figuring myself out now. But I think at the back of my mind, I've always had something to work towards. And one documentary I just actually literally finished last night was the Arnold documentary. And I've always found Arnold extremely inspiring. He wanted to be Mr., you know, he had a goal for to become Mr. Universe. He achieved that goal. He had a goal to become an actor. He achieved that goal. He had a goal to be get into politics. He achieved that goal. And when I watched that documentary, the theme and the pattern was that he always had a vision for where he wanted to go. And I think that's my whole point, is that if we don't have a vision of our future, we won't make the right decisions to get us to the vision. And we might find ourselves in a situation a decade from now, scratching our head, wondering why we haven't achieved, why we don't have what we want in life, because we've perhaps not taken the right steps. So starting right now, however old or young you are, whatever age you are, it doesn't matter. Think about this question and give it some thought. I think that's the key point I want to make.
Yeah, I think it is really powerful. If it's not something that you've thought about, sit with yourself and sit and think about before you even start applying for jobs. What's next for me? What do I actually want to achieve professionally? What are my professional goals? And in turn, you'll find yourself applying for roles at companies that are aligned with your professional goals.
Correct.
And that is going to enable you to eventually find a career with a company that you're going to love because it's very aligned with what you're looking for. And something else that can be really quite subtle when you find yourself faced with this question in an interview as well, do your research. So if you've applied for a company and you are particularly focused on learning and development in a certain area of your skill set, that's something you want to expand on, and you research that company and you see via their careers page that they are really focused on offering learning and development opportunities, they might offer a $5,000 package per annum for you to go away and study a subject of your choice. Or look, there's all sorts of companies out there that offer additional benefits. Make sure that you know this kind of stuff. And if you bring that as part of your answer, a little snippet to show that you've done your own research on the organization, powerful. That's a standout. Oh, this person's planned. They know that we offer this as part of our benefits package. Right. But you relate something that the company offers as part of their benefits package or as part of their program of being an employee. You align that to your professional goals in terms of where you see yourself in the next 5 years. Gold. That's really a powerful thing to make sure you do. So do your own research on the company as well. Don't just show up expecting the interviewer to tell you everything about the organization, everything they can do for you. Align yourself with companies that are very much in line with what you want to achieve, and that answer will very much come together.
Great advice. Yeah, absolutely. Align your values with company values and you're going to enjoy.
Match made in heaven.
Your best of work, correct. Look, honestly, I think we've covered the 4 points beautifully there. So the things making you seem less confident in interview, saying we instead of I, your body language, what your filler words, the words that I just, hopefully, maybe, you know, you're not going to come across as very confident saying those types of words, and no clarity in your future or not, again, knowing what the company can offer you and if that aligns with your goals and your values. And look, the final thing I will just say is when it comes to interviews, and just not even interviews, I'm going to use another example. So I've got a particular outfit that I know, and this is so subtle, but it's amazing what it can actually do. I know psychologically when I put on, I call it my power suit, I instantly feel more confident. And it sounds sometimes really like, but honestly, like my nan says it best, when you look good, you feel good. And if you've got something, for example, another woman the other day said to me, what should I wear? What kind of dress code is it? And I say, wear something that you feel good in. forget about the dress code, just wear something that when you put it on, you go, I've got this. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I've got just the thing. I was like, wear that. And do you know what? She freaking nailed the interview. But again, it's just the psychological thing. Like when you've got your heels on, when you've got your blazer on, you've done your makeup, you've done your hair, you instantly feel good about yourself.
You do. And look, there's a few phrases that have stuck in my mind throughout my life. And when I first started my career in recruitment, I worked for a company that I feel I have got to offer so much thanks to, because it was one of the toughest companies to work for. But by God, did they implement some amazing learning and development programs, and did they implement some amazing professional practices into my life. But we were always told, dress for the job you want, not the job you've got.
Yes.
And they had very high standards. The guys had to be in suits, shirts and ties, and believe it or not, they had to be a close shave. Mm-hmm. If they showed up and they were unshaven, they get told to go home, or they get given a razor and they had to go to the bathroom and shave. That's how strict it was. All the women, mm-hmm. we all had to wear suits as well.
Wow.
That it was mm-hmm. standard. You had to show up in a certain light. But our manager at the time was constantly saying to us, dress for the job you want, not the job you've got. And I do genuinely believe that when I make the additional effort and I do look good, I do feel good, and I'm able to show up as the best version of myself. I do feel more confident. I feel like I belong. Yeah. I feel like I am ready to attack the day. Mm-hmm. And we do laugh, like sometimes when we're just like in the trenches and we're getting the day-to-day work done, like there's even certain behaviours we have, like we'll scrape our hair right back, but we're just be ready to go.
Yeah.
Dress in a way that you feel as though you're ready to show up as the best mm-hmm. version of yourself. So I think those subtleties, again, can just really have such a positive impact on your body language and also the energy that you exude.
Yeah.
So it's not that I'm saying that everyone has to be glamorous and everyone has to look a certain way. I am not saying that at all. Yeah. I think the powerful point that you made there is, you wear something that you feel good in. Mm-hmm. You wear something that makes you feel confident, because it affects everything else.
It honestly does. And I can't remember where I read it the other day, but even buying new gym wear makes you want to train harder.
Yeah.
Right? Like when, and what psychologically, that's bizarre. Like, you know, why, just because I've got a new pair of shorts and a new sports bra, would I want to go into the gym and smash my workout? But like you just instantly go, oh, I've got new gym stuff on. Or even when you just buy yourself some new clothes and you put it on for the first time, you go, oh, this feels good. It's these subtleties that make a big impact. And when we do look, like my nan has always said it, she's 85 and she's still, I have never seen my nan without makeup and her hair done, ever. Even if she's popping down in the morning to make a cup of tea and her breakfast, she won't open the door to anybody until she's got her face on.
Do you know that was my gran as well? She had pearls on every morning.
She's just of that generation. But her saying has always been, look good, you feel good, look good, you feel good, look good, you feel good, right? So it is these subtleties. And like you said, we're not saying that you've got to be plastered in makeup and, you know, wear a bit, but just presentation. Because like you say, when you do look good, you do feel good. And it does, these subtleties instantly make not only you feel good, but also shows the interviewer that you've made an effort and you've taken this seriously. So, you know, look, I think that sort of covers everything. But look, ultimately, you're never going to feel completely confident. Interviews, they are nerve-wracking. You are pushing yourself out of your comfort zone to do it. Perhaps you really want the job and you are nervous. And just take a few deep breaths before you go in. Be very aware of these key points. And remember that the interviewer has seen potential in you. You would not be there if they didn't want you to be there. Trust me, they want you to do well as well. They don't want to be doing multiple rounds of interviews. So go in, put your best foot forward, watch for your body language, watch for the words, dress the part, and know that you are worthy and deserving of getting that job. So on that note, we will love you and leave you. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. Many more to come from Pam and I. Let us know in the comments below. Message us both on LinkedIn. What do you want us to talk about? Are you going through anything at the moment in your life or your career? Please send it to us. We want to hear from you. And if you have a minute now, please just like and subscribe to today, to this podcast, because this is what really helps grow it. So thank you so much. Have a great week ahead, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoy these episodes, the number one thing you can do to help us grow and keep spreading our mission and message is to hit the subscribe button. And if you have time, give us a quick rating. I appreciate each and every one of you who tune in every week, and we look forward to bringing you many more episodes this year. Take care.